peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. We're pretty used to the praise the king part of Palm Sunday, so it's interesting to hear Luke's editorial addition to the shouts of kingly victory. The crowd shouts, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Does it take you back to another part of the Jesus story? Perhaps 33 years earlier, or 17 chapters in Luke in time. Remember those outsiders of long ago? Those hillbillies, those social misfits, shepherds who were witnesses to an angelic choir that announced Jesus' birth. They saw and heard a multitude of heavenly angels who praised God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors. And this morning, as we dwell in the world of our gospel story, it's not the angels who speak of peace and glory. It's the whole multitude of disciples praising God joyfully with loud voices for all the deeds of power that they had seen. And they shout out, peace. And yet in the midst of this celebration of peace proclaimed, there's this melancholy and foreboding tone. As Jesus rides into the city, amidst the praise, the festive shouts, people laying their garments on the ground, giving Jesus the red carpet treatment, we hear the sneer of the Pharisees. They probably say, shut up! Shut up! Stop it! And then even more dramatically, we see tears in the eyes of Jesus. He looks upon the city of Jerusalem and he sees not this kingdom to be ruled nor this city to be taken by force. He sees his end. And so he weeps. He cries out, if only you, Jerusalem, had recognized on this day the things that make for peace. We wonder if anyone in this frenzied crowd heard this phrase or even saw the tears in his eyes. And then he prophetically tells of Jerusalem's demise that would happen 40 years later. He weeps because judgment will come to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem did not recognize your visitation from God. So it's pretty intense stuff on this Palm Sunday, and we who are tempted to just live in the happy, clappy time of Palm Sunday might not be setting ourselves up for the fullness of this story. Because on Palm Sunday, on the eve of this most intense and dramatic and powerful week of the Christian story, we must get ready for crisis and calamity. And so I wonder, are you ready for that on this Palm Sunday morning, for crisis and calamity? We're tempted, I think, to live in just the revelry and the celebration and just keep that hype going all the way until Easter Sunday without journeying into the drama, this low way, this humble, common, unimposing way that Jesus walks. I don't know what this slower Lent has been for you, but hopefully it has given you time to slow down, to reflect, to repent, to simplify. I think for me, one of the experiences in Lent has been recognizing that life is hard. We look at our world, we look at our city, we look at the landscape of our lives, and there's no shortage of heartache, of struggle, of disappointment, of loss, and fear. And I hope that doesn't make you feel all depressed and despondent, but I hope it makes you feel like perhaps this sober look at life is actually good for our faith, because then we can't just be and get away with being those happy Christians who are, everything's good because everything's God. Instead, I hope that we're Christians of substance and gumption and feeling and, yes, joy, but also the ability to lament and sorrow with others. Because we often get tempted to make Jesus relevant and spectacular. I have connections to a California church, and I was looking at their website, and next Sunday, they have one of the finalists from The Voice as their guest singer. Or another church that's doing Easter 3D. I don't know how that's going to work, but maybe Jesus comes out of the tomb. All you're going to get is Luke chapter 24 in this pulpit next week, everybody. We make Jesus spectacular, 3D. He's relevant. He's a finalist on CNN. Or he's in Billboard magazine or the Rolling Stone. And yet, the Jesus way is never trumping up heroicness. Instead, Jesus rides into town on this lowly donkey, not a war horse. And his eyes aren't filled with fury and 3D magic. They're filled with tears. If only you had recognized this day the things that make for your peace. And so as we try to live in the world of this text today, I want us to try to recognize, to pause with this image of recognizing. Jesus saying, if only you had recognized the things that make for your peace. Or he says, you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. Can we pause in these last days of Lent to recognize where and how God is at work? The things that make for peace are probably not the things that we conjure up in our own strength or by our own finances or by our own programs, even if they're church programs, or our own ability to be these nice people. Somehow Jesus is trying to reveal to us that his visitation brings peace. It's his mission, his destiny, his love for the world and the cosmos. So as we enter this final week and enter into this three-day drama of the Easter story, the good news for us is that even though we are prone to miss the point or not recognize the moment of God's presence, of God's peace, that it doesn't matter because Jesus doesn't miss the moment. He doesn't miss his mission. He goes to the cross and he lays down his life for us, for all the world. Jesus prepares a way for us when the palm branches have withered and are thrown aside, when our good efforts fail to bring peace into our relationship or our institutions. The proclamation and promise of Jesus is this. In Luke chapter 10, he says it to his disciples, blessed are the eyes that see. Blessed are the ears that hear. When the disciples were seeing with eyes of faith and hearing with ears of attentiveness, they were just barely grasping this great reversal, where things don't get done with a bigger stick or a sharper sword, but God's work and God's reign gets done in the way of the poor, the way of the meek. When Jesus' disciples see and hear with eyes and ears of faith, they hear the Jesus stories and recognize that the way to the top is not by power and control and image, but the way to God's high point is through seeking out the lost, spending time with the poor, the lowly, allowing God to find us when we're at our worst. This God who chases after the least and the lost. And so Jesus would say to us, blessed are the eyes that see. Blessed are the ears that hear. So if we are seeking a peaceful Palm Sunday, or if we're seeking after a peaceful Holy Week, may we recognize that the things that make for peace are the things that lead to Jesus' last days. And so I hope that you will participate in the fullness of Holy Week, that you'll make it out to a Maundy Thursday service, whether it's here or elsewhere in the city, or a Good Friday service or a Holy Saturday service, so that you might encounter this humility and low place, this low way, before we rise up with Christ on Resurrection Sunday. There's an old spiritual song from the 70s, probably done by Christian hippies, that sticks in my mind. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. I hope that you will take the low way and allow God to break down walls and recognize the things that make for peace in our lives individually, in our lives corporately. One commentator described the low way this way. Jesus rides no high horse, just a lowly colt. He chooses to enter a deadly situation without force or protection. He gives himself freely and without reservation. This is a prophetic act, a sign of God's vulnerable love, which risks everything and promises to gain all. This is the means by which God creates peace. Without force, giving freely, vulnerable love, risking everything. This is the low way of Jesus in the world. And as we close our time in this text, as we try to open ourselves or remain open to these things that make for peace, maybe these words or phrases from that quote will stay with you. Without force, giving freely, vulnerable love, risking everything. Or maybe it's this prayer that is in your bulletin today. The first several phrases I grew up with on a poster board in my living room for 20 years. I never realized there was more to this prayer. But the following section is quite intense. But you might use that prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr as a prayer to even frame the moment of silence that we'll share together as we close. But I encourage you to use the silence to hear from God, hear from the Spirit. What might Jesus' arrival amongst us today bring up in us as we try to be a people of peace? May the peace of Christ descend upon us anew, even as we pray, even as we listen in silence. So I'll invite you into a quiet moment, and then I'll close with a word of prayer. Our Lord Jesus, thank you that you make promises of peace for us, so that even when we fail to recognize your work, your makings for peace, you promise and become peace for us. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.